and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast about two friends on their respective IVF treatment in real time at the same time.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things to do with the fertility journey, sharing each step as it happens, from the highs to the lows and everything in between.
We're back, guys.
Guess who's back? Backstreet's back.
Backstreet's all right. Back.
Woo. Oh, my goodness.
Had a few weeks off. It feels like it's been ages.
And also, like, no time at all.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But the fans were calling.
Yeah, some nice messages on the old Insta, didn't we?
Yeah, some nice chats with people. You can probably all hear I'm very husky. I lost my voice last week and it's only just coming back, so.
I think that's a culmination, don't you think, Catherine?
Yeah.
The month that you've had.
Oh, yeah. So everyone bear with me because it's a sexy husky podcast today.
Yeah. Well, it sounds cool.
Thanks. I just can't go too high.
Oh, yeah, no.
If I go too high, it sounds like this.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
I'll just stay low. Yeah, by next time, I should have my voice back. But, yeah, we've had quite a time of it.
Well, you have had a very big time of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and we thought we'd, first of all, we're coming back with a little kind of a cheeky bonus.
Yeah, because guess what? It's everyone's favourite time.
Well, Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few unfavourite times in the calendar now. Mm. It's kind of rubbish. But Mother's Day is just around the corner. So we wanted to do a little ep and a catch up. But we are coming back like really, really soon with proper eps, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be talking to lots of interesting people. Yes. Who might be able to help you lot out there if you have any questions, you know.
Yeah, just more people, more voices.
Yeah.
Probably voices that sound a bit better than mine right now. But we're still following my story because I'm still in, we're both still in infertility land because it never truly leaves you, right? Mm. But I am still in active treatment.
Yeah.
Shall I take you all back, way, way back?
Yeah.
To where we left off.
Yeah, go back to where we left off and how your hellish month has been.
Yeah, I mean, not to be dramatic. But so the last episode we did, I had just had the BFN. And then we kind of paused there, drew a line. And we said, let's have a little break whilst we just re-assimilate. It's been just over. Hang on, let's see how long it's been. So our BFN from our first round of IVF, should say, for anyone who's, if you're just joining us now, you got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
If you're just joining us now,
go back.
Yeah. But from the first round, sadly for me and Carl, my husband, that didn't work, we got our BFN on the 8th of Feb. So what's that? 1, 2, 3. Where are we now? Oh, 3, 4, 5. It's been 6 weeks since our BFN. Mm. Yeah, so, it was, it's a lot. We had our follow-up appointment with Mr. Brooker at the hospital, and we are very lucky that we were able to get in there kind of 2 weeks after our negative. We are dealing with the NHS, which is great but not perfect, as we know, and we're hearing so many stories of people that are waiting 6 weeks for their follow-up appointment, which just must be hellish. Yeah, really hard. But we were lucky we got in there quite soon. I mean, arguably, maybe too soon. We got the follow-up after, like, they send you a little letter going over what was discussed. And lovely Dr. Brooker, he was like, Carl and Catherine's disappointment was palpable. I was like, yeah.
It would
yeah,
be.
Mate.
What happened? Because there will be people who haven't had their follow-up and they don't know what to expect. So what happened?
Yeah. So it was, people call this the WTF appointment because you literally sit there and you want to say, what the fuck? Why didn't it work? So I had a list of questions written at the top of it was, why didn't it work? And Carl was like, I don't think you're going to be able to ask that one. But yeah, you kind of go in and they talked us through the whole last round, really, what happened. All the stuff we knew, but going chronologically, you know, we had this response to stims and we got this many eggs and this many blastocysts. There's a little bit of confusion as well, because I'm absolutely sure that we got told that our blastocysts were all a 4BB. Mm. Turns out the frozen ones are a 3BB. Now, the lab phoned us and said, oh, you probably misunderstood, you probably misheard, and maybe they said all four are a BB and you heard 4BB. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I would commit that kind of information to memory because I would have asked about four times.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know how you are with stuff like that, but...
Oh, it would have freaked me out because all you can do is think, well, was I going mad and not, like, hearing it properly? Or, you know,
yeah.
And also it's the point is that that's what you thought it was and then yeah. It's suddenly not, and it doesn't matter what I know everyone's going to say, it doesn't matter, I know that, but it does matter because you heard something different. Do you see what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, and we've been told by everybody that a 3BB is the same as a 4BB, it's just earlier and the letters are more important, and actually grading's not that important, and if it's good enough to stand a chance, it's good enough to freeze and transfer. But at the same time, God, come on, we all take stock of these numbers and gradings. We shouldn't, but we do.
Yeah, but also it's the point is that you were told something else. Do you see what I mean?
Yes. And so now, and it, when you're in a quite a fragile headspace anyway, it makes you question everything, second guess other things, I suppose. But yeah, he took us through the fact that we've got three BB embryos frozen, which is fantastic. Like, we are very lucky to have those. And kind of said, look, we don't know why it didn't work for you. And this bit sounds quite harsh, but actually I know what they mean. And he said, I know this sounds wrong, but he's like, to us, it didn't work the first time, no big deal. And he said, I know to you, big, big deal, you know, because every round there's hope and there's emotions and there's a whole roller coaster. But he said, the thing is, with your sperm results, and if you don't know, me and my husband Carl have very, very low sperm results for no real reason. We haven't found the true kind of cause of it. He said, that's likely to be the first ever embryo that you've had. So couples, when they try normally, you know, they'll probably get fertilization, they'll probably get embryos made inside them, the same that we get in a petri dish in a lab. I don't know if it's petri dish, actually.
I don't know.
Our embryologist friends will correct me there. But, you know, the same that we get in a lab, most couples will have that. And even if it doesn't work every month or every cycle, they will have fertilization. He's like, you've probably never had that.
Mm.
This was probably the first real chance you've ever had, which again was like, mind blown. That's the first, that's the first time it actually could have worked.
Yeah.
So he's like, when you think about it like that, it's actually not surprising that it didn't work, maybe. Do you know what I mean? And
did that help? Did that help or not?
Kind
really?
Of. I didn't really think about that before. And it explains as well why we were getting so hopeful, because it was the first time in months where I was like, this could actually work. We were in with a real shot, because I did know in the back of my head that, you know, with our results, with our diagnosis, it is very, if it happens on its own, just naturally, because a lot of people say this as well. They're like, well, my friend did IVF and then after their first round failed, they got pregnant naturally.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that a lot. Yeah.
And maybe in a case of kind of more unexplained, but I'm like, nah, guys. I mean, if it happens, brilliant.
Yeah.
But it would be an actual miracle, I think. It's, you know, not impossible. Weirder things have happened. But he did put it like that. He said, look, you did have some fluid in your womb on egg collection. I feel like the listeners have got a really detailed picture of me now. I'm telling you all about my womb. So yeah, egg collection, there was a bit of fluid there, which could have been a sign maybe that my endometrium wasn't perfect. Mr. Brooker said, actually, that's not concrete evidence enough, but he said it's just in the back of my mind that maybe the conditions weren't ideal, but he's like, I can't really pin it on anything. And yeah, what else? So then we had that.
Steps.
Oh, yeah. What I said as well, I was like, look, Mr. Brooker, I said, by egg collection, I still felt sore. I still felt tender and I was still in pain. And I just wonder if my body wasn't ready. Now, that's not a medical thing. He was like, it won't have been. Like, I had a scan on the day of my egg collection and everything was medically good to go. Not egg collection, I had a scan on the morning of my transfer and everything was good to go. But I remember saying to you, didn't I? I said, did you feel all right? And you were like, yeah, totally back to normal. And I just, you know, I just wonder if there's so much of fertility that is mysterious. And maybe my body was like, nah. So, yeah, then we laid out the next steps and we are going for a natural frozen embryo transfer. So we're using one of our frozen embryos and we're going for a natural cycle. Now, okay, I might butcher this because I'm not a doctor, but you can either have a medicated frozen cycle or a natural. Obviously, medicated, they give you synthetic hormones and they kind of manipulate your cycle to be in the right place at the right time. But for women like me with a regular cycle, they said, you know, natural works just as well. And at first I'm like, oh my God, no, how can I do it without drugs? I need drugs, give me all the drugs. But the ethos is, you know, Mother Nature supposedly does it all for us. And who are we to mess with that? So the idea is that my body is doing all the work when it should. The problem identified, the issue identified, is with sperm. So we've done ICSI, we've got embryos. So in theory, Bob's your uncle. And I do see the logic in that. Also, apparently there's new evidence. It's very new studies that show that a natural cycle can lower birth complications. So if you get pregnant and go on to hopefully have a healthy baby, can lower the chances of things like preeclampsia, low birth weight, premature birth. That is very new. It is a thing. It is now emerging evidence, but I don't want anyone sitting there going, oh my God, I had a medicated and am I not going to be okay? No, it's like not the deciding factor. But he's like, why not? If you can do a natural, why not do that? So he did say, I advise you maybe wait a cycle. So we can go with what would be the next bleed. So I'd have a period, so my proper cycle's back, and then we go in that cycle for the frozen, and I'll get to kind of timings of how it works. But he's like, but I would recommend you wait two periods. And we were like, no. They only said that. And thing is, I've heard from other people on our Instagram that they've been recommended a similar thing and they're not happy with it. And I would just go back and say, why? Why have I been recommended that? If it's medical, physical, fine. But we said, why is that? And could we go on the next one? And he said, yeah, you can, but just emotionally, you might need more time to heal. And I'm like, pal, if we wait till we're healed, we will we will be waiting months.
Yeah, but it's that old adage, isn't it? When people say, oh, and it's totally fair, people wanting to do things like take a break and that. But
yes.
I don't really understand how you just go back. Do you see what I mean?
Like, oh.
How are you meant to just be
have
like...
have a break and live your life.
You can't. You can't.
Yeah, we would be, and we have been waiting for IVF. I would be waiting, I'd be counting the days.
Yeah, there's no point.
And I am counting the days, and, you know, we'll come to it, because I do feel like we're living at the moment in limbo, like we're straddling these really two weird worlds where we can't really plan anything too far ahead. We're not living our best child-free lives, you know, with that freedom, and we probably were last summer. That's probably the last time we felt that with our... we went to America and we did a big trip, but since treatment started, yeah, we're not living our best child-free lives, and yet we're not planning for our family. Like, we're not painting a nursery, we're not buying clothes, we're not, and I know that that is a long way off for even people that do get a positive result, but do you know what I mean? We're not in the we're going to be parents headspace,
yeah,
but we're not in the we're child free headspace. It's a really weird place to be, and at the moment it is treading water a bit, and I feel like it is counting the days till the next transfer. So we said, no thank you, we'd like to crack on.
Good.
And they went, okay, it's your choice. Yeah, and I just think, okay, look, if we look back and regret it, then fine. But here and now, we needed something to get cracking with, get going with. And there are so many people who would love the chance to go again so soon, and we're being given that chance, so we're just grabbing it with two hands.
And there's no medical reason why you can't, do you know what
no,
I mean?
It was purely you might need more time to emotionally kind of recover from the first fail. Fail is such a horrible word, isn't it? Fail. Like you fail an exam, you fail IVF, you know?
Yeah.
I know. It's fine. It's fine. It's just but again, so much of the terminology in IVF is, you know, failed this, incompetent that, and it's
uninhabitable that. Or
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Monica and friends with her. I don't think they say this, to be fair, but when they're like, you have an inhospitable womb. I'm sure they used to say
stuff
like that.
Apparently to Paloma, Paloma Faith, they said that to her.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
it was maybe
awful.
Maybe a few years ago, but she was told that, yeah.
So yeah, we are now we're in the next cycle. So things got a little bit lighter for me when I got signs of my cycle coming back. That was lovely. When I saw that sweet, sweet, I'm going to say it, cervical mucus. I know, but everyone will know. If you've been TTC, you will know. I was like, Carl, guess what? He was like, he can't cope with me talking about it. But I saw the fertile signs of that. Then I had the temporise and all the wee sticks, doing the wee sticks. And so I was like, great, my cycle's coming back. And then my period came almost a week ago. Yeah. So that was a weird one because in one sense, yay, we're moving on to the next like cycle, another chance, another opportunity. Great that my cycle's back, but also we always thought that we could be a special kind of unicorn.
I know, and it's weird because I'm sure when your period arrived you had all these mixed feelings and but it's still a, even having your period in that moment is still a grief, isn't it? Because it's like great.
I mean, it was a very slim chance on our own, but hey, we try every opportunity we can. So hopefully I'm going to ovulate. Basically, they put the embryo back in now about 5 days after my natural ovulation, which could be, if everything goes how I think it's going to go. And again, I'm lucky. I have a regular cycle most of the time. They're going to put it back maybe the second week of April. But again, it's all a bit up in the air.
Yeah.
We've booked another holiday. Woohoo!
Woohoo! That's good.
which is good. Well, we're going on a little last 2 week wait. I was at home doing my normal stuff, and some people that works for, I hated it. I was going stir crazy in the house. And so this time, let's do something different. We've booked just a few nights away in the UK, a little Airbnb down by the coast, kind of Dorset way. And we're going to hopefully be there for some of the 2 week wait. But again, doing the IVF maths, I'm like, right, okay, well, if I ovulate on this time, I don't want to book it too early because I don't want to have to cancel. Well, obviously I would cancel it for transfer, yeah. But you know, you don't want it to potentially clash with the transfer, and then, but too late, I don't want to be away for test day because I think a negative being away on holiday would ruin our trip immediately. So it's that weird balance of, but we've gone for it. We're sick of not being able to book things or plan things. So just got a little Airbnb, and yeah, I'm just currently trying to focus on myself and building up. I'm doing everything. And again, I don't want to freak people out because you don't have to do all these things. But after the first round didn't work, I went, all right, okay, I've changed my deodorant. I've changed my laundry detergent. I've changed my dishwash tabs. I've changed my shampoo. I've changed my skincare to be like natural, like fragrance free, chemical free, as chemical free as possible. And I don't want to freak anyone out. You do not have to do all that. It's my brain. It's purely for my brain going, what? And I know I'm doing it. I'm like, what can I control? What can I grasp onto for some semblance of control? But you know what? I quite like my new deodorant. It smells nice.
That's good.
So all that stuff, I'm like, okay, let's just throw the book at it and let's just see. And yeah, and now we're in this cycle. I'm like, no alcohol. I'm drinking loads of water, eating loads of protein, veggie, all those things, which I think are good. Like the first category, probably a little bit crazy pants. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Me going a bit mad. Second category, good diet, good sleep, good hydration, getting outside. That is good stuff.
Yeah.
So a mix of both. Back to my acupuncture. Yeah, so I think I said this to you, didn't I, Sean? I said there kind of came a point where I kind of got tired of sending all this energy outwards. I felt like I was emotion, like, yeah, expelling quite a lot. And this sounds a bit woo-woo, but I went, at some point you have to turn it back in.
Mm.
And I'm like, what if I put all this energy back into myself?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to keep hold of for round two, really.
But do you think that the expelling of the energy was also because, you know, when you're grieving, you're like, the world is spinning and continuing, and how can I? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
it's like, what?
God, yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That it's like, not, it's not right. It's not fair. I've got to continue and everyone else is going on with their day. Do you know what I mean? Do you think it's to do a little bit of that as well?
Yeah. And you know what? It's been so up and down. Like people who have said, oh, how are you? Our favourite phrase, mine and Carl's, is up and down, up and down. And so, and it still hits you in waves. And I never expected it to be like this. I never expected it to be so like up and down, still can hit you in those waves and stuff. And just on the, you know, on the note of the world keeps turning and people's lives progress and carry on, I should say that it didn't help that two of my best friends are pregnant and got a positive. And I know one of those, trigger alert guys, this is the only time I'm gonna say it, but one of those is yourself, Sean.
Yeah
And then after that, which listeners will know, and then after that I had another really, really close friend get pregnant, find out she was pregnant, and it was just a bit like, and I won't say too much about her because it's obviously not my story. She's a really close friend who I love so much, but it felt like every time we went, okay, come on, we're getting up again, the universe went, no, you're not. Gave us a little kick, and it's like, oh, we can't catch a break.
Yeah.
So that was quite hard, just in the sense that And I said to my friend as well, I said, you know, I want all the good things for you. Mm. And it wasn't IVF either. It was a normal. Mm. I mean, how baffles. I think,
you know. How does that happen?
It's a scam. I know. But I would say as well, this friend hasn't had a particularly easy journey either. Didn't need IVF, but that's, you know, still hasn't had it easy.
Yeah.
But even people who do have it easy, you know, they exist too. And I do, everyone who escapes IVF that I know, I'm kind of like, oh, you got away. Good. Run. Save yourselves.
Yeah.
So that, like, you know, I said to her, I'm so pleased that you didn't end up here. Mm. And of course, I just want all the good things for you. Mm. But it's just that feeling of all of my friends mm. now just getting further and further away. And are we going to get to Christmas? I know I keep saying this, and you're like, rein it in, girl. You're like,
you're not there.
And yeah. You know, these are all the people that I thought I'd be having babies at the same time as. Might still. But I do jump forward. So I'm like, oh God, that's by the end of the year, two of my closest friends will have a baby. And what if I don't? And it's just that scary world that we live in, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing that can be done about that. Yeah. So that was
a haunted
hard.
House, that is. That
thought. Oh, I know.
That is a haunted house. You've just,
jump scares.
I just think it was really, really hard this whole month on you.
It was a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, a lot of different emotions. And then I got a cold and then I lost my voice.
Well, they say, don't they, the throat is to do with
the
emotion.
Larynx.
Don't they
yes.
say that? Is that woo-woo? Yeah. Or
I don't know. That is a thing. And because obviously guys are trained in musical theatre, don't you know? at drama school, it was a big thing. I mean, again, this is an overshare, but at drama school, I was breaking up with a lot of unsuitable boyfriends quite a lot of the time. And then I would lose my voice.
Wow.
And I would go to a singing lesson and be like, I can't sing, and my teacher would be like, all right, who is it now, who've broken up with this time, you know? Anyway, so the larynx is quite emotional, I think, and I think your voice is affected by stuff like this. But I was due a cold anyway because I thought I'd escape the winter bugs. And I'm like, better now than during transfer time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So where are you kind of in your head now looking forward? Because I know it changes, but like how are you kind of thinking about everything ahead?
Yeah, I'm definitely more positive now. The hope is returning. Because at the start I was like, nah, it's never going to work. But here we are, we're doing it again. We must think it's going to work. And I know as well that we've only had one failed round, and it's not, we talk about this, don't we? Like how people say you can't quantify your pain, and to an extent, yes, and you can't compare, and it's, you know, you can't rank your situation with others. To an extent, yes, but I do think that
you can a little bit.
Come on, do you know what I mean?
Like, you're going through a really tough
yeah,
time.
Yeah, but I can still acknowledge that one failed round is a world away from what some people are experiencing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are feeling much more hopeful and positive. Mm. The idea of being drug-free is actually really cool, because now I've got my head around the fact my body is doing all the work. I'm like, great, like, I won't feel like, well, I will feel like a crazy person, but less so, just my normal crazy self. No drugs. Although I will say, this is a little bit contentious, but they weren't going to give me any progesterone for after, because there's no medical reason. And this is a thing, it can work perfectly fine without progesterone. Because your body is making progesterone. But then I asked if I could have some blood tests for progesterone, and they said no, again, for good reason, because it's quite hard to test because progesterone does change throughout the luteal phase, etc. Mm. But in my head, I was like, I would like that. I would like some progesterone. And for those who don't know, progesterone is the hormone that your body makes after ovulation, that it is high after you ovulate to sustain an early pregnancy. And it's the thing before a placenta develops that sustains it. And I was like, the trust is not quite back in my body. And so I would like that. And so I emailed, and this is a lesson again, ask for things. You know, you can do it nicely, but I just said, is there any harm? Is there any risk? And if not, could I have it? And they said, yes, there's a cost associated because it's not strictly necessary for me. But they were like, there's no harm. If you would feel better, that's fine, but there's a cost. So I think it's about £90. But I'm like, I'm fortunate. I can do that, you know?
Yeah.
Some people wouldn't be able to. But yeah, so I am having progesterone after. I just thought I'd mention in case anyone else is in a similar situation. Yeah. And again, it's just a lesson that you can ask for things. You can ask why. I find a good way to phrase things with the clinic is, what are the benefits? What are the risks? Are there any risks? What would happen if we did? Yeah, so we're doing that. And yeah, I think we're all right. I've missed this podcast. I haven't missed you because I talk to you every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've missed our little debriefs.
Yeah.
And we're kind of getting on with it. Carl is doing some stuff with Nexus Fertility, which is Sean and Kieran of the Male Fertility podcast, who are brilliant. And they're establishing a new kind of platform all about male fertility. And it's a place where you've got brilliant support, experts all in one place. And my lovely husband is a kind of like a patient ambassador, patient advocate. So I don't know, I think we thrive when we're doing things. So yeah,
and helping people, you know, that's going to help a lot of men out there.
Yeah, and I suppose connecting with people, I won't speak for Carl, I know he's kind of the same, but I'm like, I feel so much better when I'm connecting with people and talking is my therapy, talking is how I process it. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's great. And great news about Carl doing that. I think that's really, really, really positive. So
yeah, so that's me, guys. That's me and Carl, that's us. And we're gonna keep you posted, aren't we, throughout the process. It's easier this time, but yeah, we'll definitely keep doing it in real time.
Well, you're gonna have your scan pretty soon, aren't you? That's booked
Yes, I get a scan because they do check with a natural cycle still that your lining is good, that, you know, that you are growing a follicle, that you're about to ovulate. And if not, if those things aren't in place, they can cancel it at any time. They can go, we're not going to do it, which would be hard, but it's the right thing. Don't put it back at a time when it's not likely to work. Yeah, I've got a scan coming up. I ovulate a bit later in my cycle, so I don't know how much they're going to see.
Yeah.
And so I might email and be like, guys, it's going to be a bit early, but you know, they might just want to be like, oh, well, we'll bring you in anyway. Yeah, and I've got to track my ovulation because I was like, I've got to do all the ovulation tracking when I was panicking about a natural cycle. And the doctor went, but you do that anyway. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been doing that for 2 years.
Yeah, you have.
Already. I'm quite good at that now. So, yeah.
What was I going to say? Let's talk about Mother's Day.
Okay, guys, this is the other reason that we heard a call to arms. We felt a call to arms because guess what's coming up? It's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
A week today from recording, we're recording on a Sunday, it will be Mother's Day. And Sean, I know I said to you when we got our negative, one of the first things I thought was, oh, I'm going to have to do another Mother's Day. And how funny that was one of my first thoughts. Clearly, that's an indicator of how big a day it can be for people.
I don't think that maybe everyone really does think it's a big day, do they? Because I guess if you're not in this position, then they won't. They're like, oh, it's just another day. Like, Christmas is another day. But actually, I don't think people realise the barrage of content that suddenly infiltrates the entire social media
and the real
and
world.
The real world. Yeah, when you go to a cafe, if you go out anywhere, you're like,
if you go to a pub, like the pub I walk the dog past, has had a sign outside for about a month saying Mother's Day menu.
Yeah,
book in. You go to a supermarket to get, like, I don't know, to get loo roll, and you're hit with like the cards and the. Yeah, how do you feel about Mother's Day, Sian?
Mother's Day, for me. I have found it very, very hard. And I mean, look, we're not going to talk about it, but I still find, you know, things haven't left
Don't
me.
Mention the war.
I know, it is, yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
No, but we can say that obviously you're in a slightly different situation now, but.
Yes, I'm in a different situation, and I don't think, I think I envisage, I could be wrong, but it probably won't be as hard as it has been in the past for me. But I still find it a very tricky day. And I think in the past, I've just found it a painful reminder of what you don't have. And it's everywhere. And notwithstanding that, it just, I don't know, it amplifies the fact that you're in a waiting room. You know, you're in a waiting room, and then you see, this is the thing, is that I actually found it's much easier just to stay at home and not do anything because you control the outside. You don't have to go to the pub. You don't have to see it. But what I found really hard, and that's why I delete Instagram usually on that day, is because, you know, it's the barrage of content that is overwhelming to somebody who doesn't have a child and wants one. It is unbelievable. It's relentless, and it's really, really hard to look at.
I think as well, to a lot of people who haven't walked our path, they don't quite realise the weight of the uncertainty because I think a lot of people who don't have problems conceiving, even some people who maybe it was trickier than they thought, but not quite our level, they go, in their heads, they go, oh, well, it'll happen for you. It ties into that whole, like, it'll happen for you, because they genuinely think that. They're like, it happened for me, it'll happen for you. Mm. Okay, well, you're not there yet, but your time will come. This isn't your time. This is my time.
And yeah.
And they just don't really see that it's just not a given for us, and they don't feel what we feel, which is total uncertainty and total uncertainty. What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, heartache, I suppose.
Yeah, and just going, okay, it's not me this year. Getting the card, getting the breakfast in bed. Actually, I've told Carla I do want breakfast in bed.
Yeah, no, as you should.
Not quite breakfast in bed, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's not you getting the card or getting the lunch booked for you, that sort of thing. And when will it be? You can't be like, okay, well, next year, because no one can tell you that it will be you next year for sure.
No.
And I do remember 2 years ago, Mother's Day was okay. We were like on the cusp of trying, on the very, very cusp. And actually, my birthday's around this time. Spring is a bit weird anyway, I think, because yes, it's great, lighter days, amazing, better weather, everything brightens up, but you suddenly go, oh my God, it's nearly April, and that year ticks away, and all the bloody baby lambs having babies.
I know, and the chicks.
Yeah, but then they do have to give birth in a barn.
Yeah, or have to crack out of an egg, like an actual shell.
Yeah. So I think, you know, even by NHS standards, that's not
and
what we want.
Did you know, I found this out, sorry, this will be going off topic here, but did you know, this is really, really horrible. This is actually, so I remember last year, there was some eggs being cracked at the school I worked at. And it was around Mother's Day, around this time. And the kids were looking at it in real time going, oh my God, it's so cute. It's so sweet. And I don't know, I felt a little bit resentful of these eggs.
Yeah, triggered.
So I turned around to them. They're only in year seven, so 11 or 12. And I went, yeah, but do you know what happens in the real world? Because, you know, they actually genetically modify some of the chicks so that when they're boys and they come out blue, they just kill them straight away.
Happy Mother's Day!
And they all looked at me like, and I was like, it's the real world, guys. It's the real world.
We should put that on a Mother's Day card. At least you're not blue and you made it. Anyway, but yeah, so spring is a bit weird anyway. And my birthday's in April, so it's always around this time. So it kind of ties in with that, because two years ago on my birthday, I said to Carl, yep, cool, pregnant on my next birthday, at least, like, let's do it. That was kind of the moment we went, let's do it. So by Mother's Day, we were already like, 2 years ago, we were like, oh yeah, like back when we thought, oh my God, like, you just do it once and jobs are good. And but then it was last year, we've been trying for almost a year. That was when it really felt like hard for the first time. But I didn't feel justified in finding it hard. So I didn't say anything on social media. I didn't share one of those posts that's like, Mother's Day is hard for people. I just stayed really quiet because, and I think this is probably something that a lot of people can identify with, I was still in the point of not struggling, trying, but trying hadn't become struggling. And so we hadn't got any diagnosis yet. We hadn't really had any, I think we just had the first lot of sort of testing booked in. I think I'd had a call with my GP and that was it. And so people were still telling us, you know, it's not been that long and it's perfectly normal for it to take a while, which is true in a lot of cases. But I felt this imposter syndrome of like, I feel this sadness, I feel this frustration, and I feel this uncertainty, but I don't feel like I fit in. I don't belong yet to the infertility world. And this year I'm like, hello, here's my membership card. Fully paid up member. But I think there is that weird time when it can affect you, when it's not as clear cut as we are struggling. I think a lot of people as well might struggle with Mother's Day if they, you know, are single and they don't have a partner yet and they want children, or
lost a mother, you know,
or lost their mum. That's a massive thing, you know. And there's a lot of pressure to kind of come together as families. And
And it's very isolating when you don't feel like you belong to something, you know. And I know everyone, like I said, will turn around and go, it's only one day, but actually it's not. It means more than that. It's not just the one day. It's everything that it means behind it. That's what's hard about it.
I do think it shows how commercialized it is. And if any of our listeners can take that as comfort, you know, just like we kind of laugh at Valentine's Day a little bit. Not saying laugh at Mother's Day, obviously. But, you know, at Valentine's Day we go, oh, it's so silly, you know, it's just about cards and it's money making. And I'm seeing that so much with Mother's Day. Like in all the shops, just so much, this would be nice for mum. Mum would like this, buy that, buy a card, book lunch, order this, online shopping, do that. All of the brands I've subscribed to for like marketing emails, they're all emailing with their Mother's Day, you know, Mother's Day suggestions, Mother's Day this, Mother's Day that. And it does hit me how kind of overwhelmingly commercialized it is. Do you feel that?
God, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the fact that it was like on the shelves like a month ago is very telling. The fact that even after, I mean, this isn't necessarily Mother's Day related, but even after Christmas, honestly, I think in January I saw Easter eggs. I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, I think that, yeah, I don't know. Is it an American thing, Mother's Day?
I don't know. I don't think it is, you know.
Where does Mother's Day come from?
Well, yeah, who decided this?
Who can tell us this?
Okay, someone can tell us, I'm sure. But it's so interesting as well how it's a much bigger deal than Father's Day.
Yeah.
I think, in the calendar.
Right. Well, it might change. It might change.
Yeah, I think Father's Day is getting bigger and bigger, and that's a hard day for people too. So that's in June, isn't it?
And I also want to shout out to those people who may have, you know, they may have lost children, you know, having
lost
to
children.
Do, imagine having to do Mother's Day and then having that.
Well, and similarly, embryo loss, yeah, but miscarriage, you know.
Yeah.
Baby loss, pregnancy loss.
Yeah.
It's really hard for so many people, and it can feel like we're a little bit silenced, you know?
Yeah.
And it can feel like we're like, okay, just don't make a scene, don't make a fuss, just let people be happy. It's just one day. But then you end up suppressing so much and just shrinking away.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's going to see our pain? Who's going to acknowledge, you know, our experience of it all?
No.
And when you think about that, so many people. So what, we've got people who are struggling to get pregnant, mm-hmm. people who have lost mothers, who might have lost babies in various, you know, stages. People who want to be mums.
Yeah.
You know, that's so many people.
That is a lot of people. And then...
That's not even an exhaustive list. There'll be more.
There'll be a lot more that we haven't thought about. But then there's also, then it makes you think, you know, when people, you know, do put up those pictures of their, like, babies and children and on Mother's Day, sometimes that can feel very, very hurtful, can't it?
Yeah, it can feel like it's a bit of a personal attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not. They're not doing it to upset me, little old me, who has had a round of IVF fail, you know? Like,
yeah.
But sometimes it feels like it. It feels like a bit of a knife.
It does. It does. It's not, doesn't feel good. What are your plans to then? Because is there a way to turn this on its head?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. This year I've gone about it in a different way, and I've kind of approached it with caution from the start.
Mm.
And I mean, I've told my family, okay, maybe phrase it in a different way, but I've told my family, I text on the family WhatsApp, and I told them that Mother's Day made me feel sick and I wouldn't be taking part.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, they're used to me being my own brand of honesty, and they were like, it's fine, they're quite chill, like we do stuff as a family anyway. Like I say, we've got my birthday coming up and my twin sister's birthday, because I'm
of
a twin.
Course. Yeah.
So we do stuff anyway, and so, but I set out that expectation. I was like, guys, I am sitting it out this year. I don't want to do a big lunch. I don't really want to make a big thing of it. I said I'm really sorry, I know that's selfish because I have a mum that I love, but then my mum lost her mum a year and a half ago. So my mum was like, I get it, my mum struggled to have me and my sister way back when, so you know, there's a part of her that I'm sure gets it. So I set out that expectation. I've been chatting about this as well to people on the Instagram, and someone said to me, I tried to tell my mum that I didn't want to have lunch, and she got upset and, you know, said, of course we're doing Sunday lunch for Mother's Day because it's, you know. And I said, well, could you suggest that you host a lunch, or, you know, that one of you hosts? And so say, okay, cool, come to mine for lunch. We'll do, I was going to say a barbecue, but the weather's probably not going to be good enough.
No.
But like, we'll do, like, you know, a roast chicken and salads, and, you know, let's stay in. Let's have lunch in rather than going out, because, like, I can't think of anything worse than, it's the being out, I think, that's part of it, because all pubs do, like, a Mother's Day menu, and, you know, and if you go to a pub this Sunday coming, it will be full of mums and kids and babies and a lot of people celebrating Mother's Day, you know. So could you flip it on its head and go, okay, could we do something low key? Could we still be together? Could we stay in? Could we do a dog walk, if you've got a dog, if not, just a walk?
Yeah.
Could you do a coffee and a walk? I've been suggesting to a lot of people at the moment a coffee and a walk, because I find walking side by side with someone so much less intense. And even my best friends, like, that normally we'd sit down in a cafe, go for a little lunch maybe. I don't want to sit face to face to someone. I don't want to look people in the eyes. And I just find it way less intense to be on a lovely walk, like somewhere green, with the dog running around with a coffee. It's just so much easier to coexist with people in difficult situations when you're next to each other. Yeah. It's like how people find it easier sometimes to talk on a drive.
So,
could you suggest that to your family?
I also wonder whether you say, look, I personally don't feel comfortable. If they were, I don't know, let's say that parent was like, well, I really want to go out. Maybe you could say, well, could we do it on another day?
Could you do the Saturday?
Yeah. Could we do Saturday instead, or could we do the week after? I just don't really feel like I can take being outside with all those people and it being so obviously in my face. Yeah.
And you know what? Be selfish. No one's going to have your back like you have your back, especially in this situation, because sadly, people don't get it. A lot of people, again, if they've not struggled, or even if they have, I'm sorry, some people do sort of, you know, look back with rose-tinted glasses. If you're not in it right now, people will struggle to understand why you can't just go to a pub for an hour. I get it. I didn't want to do that. But other people will won't understand it. So be prepared for that. But I'd say be selfish. Put yourself first. Be kind and, you know, show love to people. And, you know,
You've got to set up those boundaries.
You've got to put yourself first. Yeah. It's a day. And yeah, like even if it's met with, but why? Go, that's just what I need right now. And yeah, it's really hard because no one's going to advocate for you like you are, especially maybe with older family members, that there's an expectation that you'll go out and you'll do something.
Yeah, and very like the whole British stiff upper lip. Oh well, just need to get on with it. You know, we've all got problems. You've heard that one before.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes if I explain the emotion, people can't really argue. I don't want to do this because it makes me feel like this. It makes me feel a certain way. Well, you can't really argue with that, can you?
No. What can I ask about your feelings ahead of Mother's Day?
Mother's Day? Yeah, I mean, Carl and I have had this chat. And again, if you have a partner, let them support you. Let them into what you want. I said to him quite early on, because, you know, his instinct is, okay, let's plan something nice. And a lot of the time that would be for us going for a Sunday lunch at a pub. Like, that's what we did on the day of our negative. We had a table booked at a pub and we went because that's what we like to do. But I said quite early on, actually, don't book that for me, because otherwise he might have. And then he was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. So I've set out the boundaries quite, I don't know, I've just let him in with what I think might help.
Yeah.
I've told him that I would like a bunch of flowers and some chocolate. But I will buy myself some flowers. Last year I went down to the supermarket, bought myself a bunch of flowers, not expensive flowers, just tulips from, you know, from the supermarket, and a Lindt chocolate bunny, and ate the whole thing in one go.
Yeah.
So that might happen again.
Yeah, good. good.
But yeah, I am going to be chilled with it. I think we're going to plan a really nice walk somewhere with the dog. And I think we're going to be at home, you know.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be at home, be with each other, maybe have a duvet day and watch loads of, you know, Netflix series or box sets or something.
Yeah.
But I can't take credit for this, but I listened to the wonderful Carly Garrett on a podcast this week with Hannah Pern. And if you don't know Carly, she's an amazing fertility coach and also a reflexologist. And she does so much for people in this space, and she's got a lot of support going on, so go follow her. But she was saying on this podcast, have a plan A, a plan B and a plan C of what you want to do. And maybe one's a not getting out of bed plan.
Yeah.
And I hope that no one has to do that. But if so, what does that look like? Okay. But is there anything that can maybe plan? In that case, I would probably plan my meals.
Yeah.
I would go, what am I going to eat? And I get Carl to make me Sorry, I sound like I'm just bossing him about all the time. But do you know what I mean? If you have a partner and if you think you'll struggle to get out of bed on that day, because let's face it, some people will.
Yeah.
Maybe go, okay, it would really help me if we had this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner, and you make it. And even if I have two bites or whatever. But then a plan B of a, okay, we're staying in the house, but we're going to have a duvet day and watch a movie. And a plan C of going out, and maybe it's not the lunch at the pub, but maybe it's just out, maybe like an earlier coffee or something before the rush, before like the lunchtime rush. But again, that was Carly's kind of plan of action. And I was like, oh, I really like that, actually.
Yeah.
Just have different options in place and you can choose and different choices of what you want to do that day. And you don't have to decide until you wake up and you can change your mind.
They're really, really, really good ideas, actually.
Yeah.
And yeah, just sending love to everyone out there who does find it a really hard day.
Shall we talk quickly about social media on this day? Because it's a big one, isn't it?
I mean, for me personally, I found that very, very hard. I think I still find it really hard seeing things on social media, which I know everyone's probably a bit like, huh? Oh, boohoo to you. And I don't mean want
no,
that Sian, response.
Stop that. I'm not having that chat.
Okay.
Your feelings are valid.
Yeah. Well, thank you. No, but I find the social media stuff really hard because in a weird way, the outside stuff, you can close your eyes. You know,
we'll just walk around with your eyes closed.
Yeah, just close your eyes. Nope, I'm not looking.
Look the other way.
But like your phone's so addictive, like you go on it and that's really hard, isn't it? Seeing images and also people paint images that aren't actually real.
100%.
Like it may not be a happy family, okay?
Oh my God, louder for the people at the back. Yeah. That snapshot you see, you don't know what's happened 30 seconds before and 30 seconds after.
Yeah.
And it's all a lie.
It's all a lie. Everyone's going to look at their phones now next Sunday and go, well, that's a lie.
You're lying. I do think as well with the social media thing, first of all, I suppose your phone thing in general, there's a few things. There's the marketing emails.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can, I've unsubscribed from a few because a few companies send you the heads up and say, do you want to unsubscribe? And I've gone, yep. But you can never get all of them. If you're anything like me and you've done that much online shopping in your life, there's always, you can't get all of them. But for that, maybe I'd turn off the push notifications for the day so they don't ping up. Yeah. Although that's more in the run up, I think.
Yeah.
That's more in the quick buy something now.
Yeah.
Before it's too late. So on the day, I don't think that's going to be such a thing.
No.
But on the day on social media, I think there's two sides of the coin. I think there's the perfect happy families, new baby, dare I say it, pregnancy announcements.
Yeah.
Again, people wait for these big days to announce these things.
Yeah, they do.
Hate it.
I know. I would delete social media. I would just delete
for
it.
The day.
Yeah.
But then I think the other side of the coin, you've got your happy family side. And then the other side is a lot of people post things to do with awareness, which is great.
That's true.
But for a lot of people, that can be quite hard to read as well, because you've either got people being super happy, perfect families, babies, having babies, love my kids, so grateful to be a mum. Cool, I can understand that. That's their story.
Yeah.
But then you've got sad posts with like thinking of those who are struggling, are dealing with infertility, are dealing with loss, have lost their mothers, da da da. And it's like you cannot get away from the two extremes.
No.
You know? There's like whenever you scroll, there'll be one post of each, a super happy. And the awareness posts are important. They are really important. But I just know for some people that can be quite
hard,
confronting, quite full on to read a lot of as well, you know?
Definitely.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that they are very hard to read. Me personally, I probably prefer the awareness ones, but I think that just says more about me. But I think you can also do a time limit as well, can't you, on your phone?
Yes. Yeah, you can.
You can put in a time limit and then it says, do you really want to go over the allotted time? You could do
that. I've got a tip.
Yeah.
I've got a tip as well. If you're anything like me, you will delete the app and be like, I'm deleting the app for the day. And then you'll go on it on your browser or you'll find it or you'll get it downloaded back. But how about if you just move the app to a different folder on your phone for that day? So create a new folder of apps. And I've got an iPhone, so I don't know if it's the same on Android. But on Apple, you can group your apps together in folders. Mm. Like make a new folder and put it somewhere that you wouldn't normally go to on your home screen.
Yeah.
And put your social media in there. And then it'll take you longer to go, because I think the problem with my phone is I just pick it up, I know exactly where Instagram is, boom.
Yeah.
But if it takes you if it was harder for me to find, it would just, I think, break that pattern and make me think, oh, where's Instagram? Oh, I don't know. Okay, it's in this folder. And then by that point, I sometimes find that I'm not as inclined to open it.
Yeah.
That doesn't work when you know where the new location is and you've got used to it.
Well, that's, yes.
But for the one day, you could move it and just have a bit of a disconnect.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You could also tell a friend and say, listen, if you see me going on Instagram, like, you know, you can see if someone's on sometimes.
Yeah.
You can just be like, get off.
Tell me to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your phone away. Have a day without your phone.
A day without your phone, Sean?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
That's a challenge. We should do like a Mother's Day 24-hour phone-free challenge.
Yes, that's a great idea. Can you send a message plan? Can you get that in your phone where you send a message like, Happy Mother's Day, if you did want to send a message to your mum? Does it do it automatically? Could you get that set up in advance?
Could you schedule it? I don't know if you could.
You could probably get an email.
An email? That's so corporate.
I know.
Happy Mother's Day, Mum. Kind regards. But needs must.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, if people do like a 24-hour like unplugged challenge, I was like, and then you can take pictures and videos and show us what you did. I'm like, nope. Defeats the point.
Yeah, can't do that.
But you can tell us afterwards what you did.
I'd actually love to know what people did instead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe afterwards, we'll do a little thing on the Instagram and be like, share what you did on Mother's Day that wasn't going to a pub for a Sunday lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say I will be offline on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm really going to try and do that and stick to it because I just know that it will make me very, very sad. But we didn't want, and people might be doing the same, and if anyone wants to, I would encourage you to have like some social media away time. But we thought it was important to have our Instagram
open. Yeah.
Because if anyone, and I had this chat with you, didn't I, Sian? And I said, please tell me if you would find it too difficult. But I think you will find it easier than me at the moment.
100%, yeah.
To monitor the inbox.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. And we couldn't bear the thought of anyone on Mother's Day struggling for someone to turn to and being met with silence.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about.
No.
Like, we want connection. We want to be a listening ear for people. And so if on Mother's Day you are struggling, drop us a DM because lovely Sian will be
Hand. Sorry, it won't be Catherine, everyone, but it will be me.
What?
So you'll have me.
They're like, I'm not interested. No. They love you, Sian. People are, and Sian's been quieter on socials, haven't you?
I have purposefully.
For obvious reason.
Yeah, yeah.
But people are asking about Sian all the time. You don't have to hide away, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that possibly if the shoe was on the other foot and I was messaging in, I'd be like, please, can I talk to Catherine and not Sian, please?
Yeah.
So, well, which is fair enough, everyone.
Yeah, well, you know, but like, you know, you're still in our club, mate. You can't get rid of us that easily.
But yeah, so I'm here on Sunday.
We will be around for anyone that wants to check in and chat. And, you know, even if you just message in to say, I'm having a shitty day, I'm having the worst time, or, you know, we just couldn't bear that someone would, be met with no response for a day. That's not fair.
Not great.
Anyway, is there anything else to say, Sean?
I don't know if there is. I think, you know, this has been a nice little catch up.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really just hope everybody out there is doing all right. I know a lot of you probably aren't, and it's rubbish. Mm. And I'm really sorry about that. It's rubbish.
If you do want to reach out to us, you can message us on Instagram. My Instagram is
IVF BFF pod.
I nearly forgot it.
That's a first.
I know.
Yeah.
And then you can also email us. You can send us an email at IVFBFFpod@gmail.com. So we are sending love to everybody. And we are. Babies for everyone. You get a baby. You get a baby. Everybody. If you haven't listened to series one, you won't get that. Sorry, no. In joke.
It
reminds me of the Oprah clip where she goes, you get a car. Yeah. That should be our new catchphrase of, you get a baby.
Babies for everyone.
Aww. Anyway, we'll update you guys as my cycle goes on. All the goss.
And also anybody out there who's going through lots of IVF cycles or coming out of a cycle or have had a really crappy BFN.
Start to the year.
Yeah, we're really sorry. And we're here for you. We are here.
Literally with you. Yeah. With you guys.
Holding your hand.
I was going to say holding your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I've missed you.
Yeah, I know. Missed you too.
Let's do more eps soon. We are going to come back with a series two proper.
Yes, we've got so many exciting guests.
We've got some people who we've convinced to come and talk to us.
I'm a bit scared about that.
I can't. I'm just going to, just throw up in my mouth a bit.
We're gonna kind of keep some of those as a surprise because some of them are brilliant.
Yeah, and also our style is open and honest and a chat and you know, we're gonna keep it true to that as well. Be great to hear from some people, you know, who don't have kind of a profile or a social media follow, like normal people.
Yeah, we'd
just
love
like
to.
Us. So we just want to hear more voices from the community, really.
Yeah, and every story is individual, and we want to know your stories. Yeah.
So keep chatting to us, guys, and we will be back very, very soon.
We will be back. Bye.
All right.
Everyone.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Let's hope Catherine's voice is better next time.
La 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 la.
Oh, God.
It's really bad. Right, bye, everybody.
Bye.